don't know if you've noticed, but we've been doing a lot of second level digging lately into our exploration of the word. We've been talking about stories we've heard over and over so much, we could likely recite them by heart. Stories about Holy Week, stories about doubting, stories about who Jesus says he is. It's been a fascinating journey, so let's not stop now, okay? Today's scripture is one that is often covered, but not always top of mind for the casual churchgoer. So some of you may feel like the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch may seem like it's familiar, but you can't quite place why. It makes a great time to explore what may be different aspects of the loads of information we get in this one event. On the surface, it seems pretty straightforward. An Ethiopian headed down the road encounters Philip. Philip helps explain the scripture the Ethiopian is reading, baptized him, and they headed off in their own directions. So this certainly could be as simple as a message of discipleship, of teaching and of learning, of being named and claimed as a follower of Jesus and going on to do the same for others. But there are so many nuances here. And there's one in particular that seems to me to leap off the page. The Ethiopian is a eunuch. Now, for most these days, the only image that will come to mind when the term eunuch is used is the character Lord Varys from the epic HBO series Game of Thrones. The delicate nature of discussing what makes a eunuch these days makes it hard for us to truly understand its impact. We do get an important piece of information in Matthew 19, verses 10 through 12, regarding eunuchs. He replied, "Not everybody can accept this teaching, but only those who have received the ability to accept it. For there are eunuchs who have been eunuchs from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by other people, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs because of the kingdom of heaven. Those who can accept it should accept it." Those who can accept it should accept it. And that's the part I want us to consider today, the topic of acceptance. Eunuchs by nature over history have been considered part of a lower social status. Throughout history, a patriarchal culture has led others to consider eunuchs as less than complete men and not worthy of being fully accepted into society. They have been set aside to the margins, worthy of only participating in the things the rest of society want to entrust them with, and nothing more. But today's scripture paints a very different picture. Philip is instructed by God's angel to head toward an encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. And when Philip finds him and is guided by the Spirit to meet him, Philip doesn't just saunter up to the chariot. He runs all out to make sure he gets there to do what the Spirit calls him to do. Philip finds someone who, by all other traits, might be considered unworthy in any other community. The Ethiopian clearly has some level of wealth, as he is riding in a chariot and not walking down a dusty road. He has to have had some level of education, or he wouldn't be able to read the Greek text reflecting the crucifixion of Jesus. He was a man of faith, or he would not be reading scripture in the first place. And he had a sense of humility, or he would not have welcomed Philip's offer to explain what the text meant. But wait, this man was a eunuch. And the scriptures provide a very conflicting view of how a eunuch should be treated. Deuteronomy 23 explains that by physical nature, a eunuch cannot belong to the Lord's assembly. But Isaiah 56 tells us, the Lord says, "To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths choose what I desire, and remain loyal to my covenant. In my temple and courts, I will give them a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give to them an enduring name that won't be removed. As much as any other seemingly conflicting message in Scripture, this situation gets at the heart of what makes Christianity different and unique, of what it means to truly do things in the remembrance of Jesus. Because while God's law is given shape and form in the Old Testament, the how of what we're supposed to do is revealed through the words of the prophets and the content of the New Testament. Philip is a shining example of not only the choice of action is simple, but that there really isn't a choice to be made at all. How do we know this? Look at the events again. The eunuch said, "Here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down to the water, and Philip baptized him on the spot. So Philip, without hesitation, not only explained Scripture to the eunuch, but welcomed this marginalized member of society into the Christian faith and the family of Jesus. Sadly, our society just can't seem to get this right even today. A church just across the border from where we stand right now has displayed a banner in front proudly produced by the American Society for the Defense of Tradition, Family, and Property, stating God's marriage equals one man plus one woman. At least 28 transgender people in the United States were killed in 2017, and those are only the ones that are documented. At least another 8 have had their lives taken so far in 2018 alone. There are countless people worldwide who work hard to try to explain that those who have broken away from the literal translation of the Old Testament are in fact unworthy of being welcomed into the family of Jesus Christ. And yet, Christ lived, taught, and ministered in a New Testament world. And clearly through the direction of God's angels and the Holy Spirit, so did the disciples. Philip did not hesitate to talk about the good news and hope that is carried in the Gospels with the Ethiopian eunuch. He did not hesitate to baptize the eunuch into the family of Jesus Christ. Philip followed what Jesus taught, that the great commandment to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and to love your neighbor as yourself is lived out in our actions. And that the great commission to share what Jesus taught with the world around us matters. Look, if you sit here today convinced that the LGBTIQ community and those that support them have it wrong in terms of a life of faith, it's highly unlikely that a few minutes of words of mine are going to change that view. That would be pretty pretentious of me to think that would be the case anyway. In my view, in the end, really it doesn't matter much anyway. What matters is God's answer. And the easiest way I know to get to that answer is through prayer. So let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Creator of all creatures, great and small, incline your ear toward us. Hear our questions, our fears, our doubts, our convictions. Hear and then speak your words in reply. Like Philip, send your angel to us to guide us toward the road you wish us each to travel. Point us toward the chariot we are to climb into and grant us the wisdom to speak your truth and to serve as your witness in all we say and do with our fellow people on earth. Give us the courage to discuss your word freely and openly, but informed with your guidance to help each other. Open our minds and our hearts to love our neighbors as ourselves and to provide your gift of extravagant welcome to all we meet. Guide our actions toward your choices, not our own individual decisions, that we may be your hands and feet among all we encounter. Grant that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because of, and sometimes in spite of, our actions. Bless all your people with a name better than sons and daughters, and ensure that name endures forever. We ask these things in the knowledge that you are with us constantly and love us unconditionally. May your peace and love envelop all who walk through this journey, whether near or far. All praise and glory belong to you, O God. Amen.